All right, well, it is 6 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and get started. Let's stand and sing one of Fanny Crosby's best ones, I think, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. This is my story. My song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Father, thank you for this song, and thank you that we get to sing about our redemption and our freedom. We get to tell about it through story. Thank you so much that we can share this, and how, as we share it, it does so much to fill us with joy and transform us, let alone the ones you're using as we share. Thank you, Father. Help us to be ever mindful of that this week, to praise you, both not inside, just personally between you and us, which is so important, but in the world, before our neighbors, our friends, our family. Help us to ever seek that. Thank you for tonight, in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Last week, we started Psalm 18, and I mentioned we're going to break that into three sections. Tonight, we're going to be reading from verse 19 to 36, the middle section of this psalm. So I will start, and I'll ask you to join me here. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure, and with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks.
For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness.
For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect.
He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarge my path under me.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing again. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. O those who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. A place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Those who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, bless me.
To Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Begin reading with verse 18. Read down to the end of the chapter. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. This, of course, is a reference to Exodus chapter 19, when God met with Moses on Mount Sinai and gave the law, and the whole mountain quaked and shook, and the people were terrified. They could not touch the mountain. Only Moses could go up on the mountain. But you have come, he says in verse 22, to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all of the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I'm going to focus primarily our attention on that verse 28, serving God acceptably, serving God in a manner that pleases him. And how do we do that? How do we please God, us sinners? How do we please a holy God?
On a gray April morning, as a chilly wind blew, a thousand dark promises were about to come true. As Satan stood trembling, knowing now he had lost, as the Lamb took his first step on the way to the cross. This must be the Lamb, the fulfillment of all God had spoken. This must be the Lamb. Not a single bone will be broken. Like a sheep to the slaughter, so silently still, this must be the Lamb. They mocked his true calling and laughed at his faith, so glad to see the gentle one consumed by their hate, unaware of the wind and the darkening sky, so blind to the fact that it was godly being by. This must be the Lamb, the fulfillment of all God had spoken. This must be the Lamb. Not a single bone will be broken. Like a sheep to the slaughter, so silently still, this must be the Lamb. The poor woman weeping at what seemed a great loss, trembling in fear there at the foot of the cross, tormented by memories that came like a flood, unaware that their pardon must be bought with his blood. This must be the Lamb, the fulfillment of all God had spoken. This must be the Lamb. Not a single bone will be broken. Like a sheep to the slaughter, so silently still, this must be the Lamb.
Thank you, Glenn. I'd like to read just actually about three different letters tonight from a couple of our missionaries. First of all, I wrote to the Fries over in England after our business meeting on Tuesday. We voted to increase our monthly support from $350 a month to $500 a month, and so they responded. They said, "Thank you so much for your note. This is an incredible encouragement to our ministry. We're thanking the Lord for his provision over the last couple of years of uncertainty. With this increase, our support continues to meet our full monthly need. We're so grateful for the gospel partnership with the church and all the care and encouragement we receive. Over the next few months, we will begin to plan our time of furlough and are looking forward to reconnecting with you all. In Christ, John and Joanna Fry." And then this note from Joe and Maida Arthur. "Please accept our most sincere thanks for the prayers of the church during these final turbulent months of 2021. The Lord has heard and answered, and he is still answering the many petitions for Maida's help. She was just discharged yesterday from the Einstein Hospital here in St. Paulo after 2 days of tests and 6 more days of treatments. They're trying to reduce the inflammation in her muscles. They will be following a new plan for the next 3 months to see if they can keep her from having low-grade fevers and improve her lung capacity. Thanks very much for the church's part in faithfully supporting us financially through the year. Thanks also for the very special medical gift sent to our account in November. We are very grateful for the church's careful consideration of the needs we were facing. We praise the Lord for you." It's from Joe and Maida. Continue to pray for her. As he says, they are changing some treatments with her. She still once in a while runs a low-grade fever. Her muscles are inflamed some. Her lung capacity is still limited, so they're trying to work with all of that and continue to treat her. But overall, it looks like she's going to be okay there in Brazil. I read, I don't know if it was a personal email or what it was, but I just remember reading from Joe that they are very, very comfortable with the care that she's getting there in Brazil, and at least at this point doesn't feel they need to come back. And then, of course, we have the Kims over in Myanmar, and we've been concerned for them as it relates to the military coup that took place just about a year ago now. And so this from from the Kims: "Dear co-worker in Christ, greetings from bloody Myanmar. We pray for you that you would grow in the love and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We prayed your Thanksgiving and Christmas would be blessed and meaningful. Our Christmas was quite bloody this year. Many of our co-workers and graduates are in the war zones, leaving their homes and hiding in the jungles, or sneaking into the bigger cities for safety, or running to India or Thailand. However, the preaching of the gospel can still be going on even in the war zones. Some church gatherings are banned, but the word of God cannot be blocked. Equipping the saints in different forms for ministries, mission works, discipleship activities, Bible translations, and writing ministries move on. Your loving prayers and caring ministries have made it all possible. God knows how thankful we are to you." So that just is a quick update on some of the situation over there. It's still very precarious. People are still running for their lives. Overall, the Kims themselves are safe, but that could change very quickly. He does give some 2021 highlights, and I thought I'd share some of that with you as well. Just some things that continue moving forward in spite of the military coup that took place at the beginning of 2021. He says, "Our family, immensely blessed, generously provided, mercifully healed from COVID, kept safe from the brutalities of the coup. Thank God for my family and co-workers. The seminary, only online classes with just half of our students. The other half suffer from the coup's communication cuts, internet, phone, transportation. Professors and their families are doing well. Other ministries, there's been 40-plus new converts baptized, 3 new church plants, and 2 new church buildings dedicated. with the orphanage that's endless smiles toward the God-given orphanage building, there are no worries concerning the rent. Church leadership seminars in person, 2 seminars in November, which pastors, 2 seminars in November for the Mongezi churches, which pastors have no formal theological training. And then church leadership seminars Zoom, 3 seminars, 1 for church planners in Mandalay region and 2 for refuge churches in Malaysia. Then there's been missionary training taking place, a 2 weeks missionary training in Tongi for our missionaries and soon-to-be missionaries, 40-plus new converts. Bible translation workshops conducted, books published. There were 3 new books in my mother tongue and 2 books in Burmese, 5 new books altogether. We have now been able to provide 22 books for Myanmar pastors who used to have fewer than 10 books in their library. 30 Bibles have been given out for new believers. 120,000 gospel tracts have been printed and distributed. More than 365 theological, biblical questions are answered via daily videos on Facebook and YouTube, and more than 100,000 people reached through this medium. Many pastors and believers are strengthened and established in the Lord. There's been Zoom Bible studies with 3 different Zoom discipleship groups meeting weekly, about 400 people altogether. They studied the books of Leviticus, Acts, Daniel, and Revelation. And then they've distributed some 45,000 kilograms of rice, beans, and oils, dry fish, etc., for war victims. Oxygen cylinders and concentrators for COVID victims. We focus on our believing brothers and sisters first, but we do not forget the unbelievers also. So just some of the ministries continuing in Myanmar in spite of the coup and the very difficult circumstances. Pray for them, but praise the Lord for those ongoing ministries. I would direct your attention back to Hebrews chapter 12. As you do, let's just bow in prayer for these missionaries. Father, we do thank you for John and Joanna Fry over in England. Thank you for meeting their needs and for the privilege that we have had to help in the meeting of those needs. Pray, Father, for that ongoing ministry and for the church plant there, that they would be able to continue to grow, continue to reach out into their community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for Joe and Maida Arthur there in Brazil. We pray likewise for their ongoing ministries. We pray, Father, for Maida and her health. We just ask that you'd give the doctors wisdom, that they'd be able to control the inflammation in her muscles, that they'd be able to increase her lung capacity. Pray that these low-grade fevers that she experiences off and on, that they would be able to control that as well. Just give wisdom as they begin this new plan of treatment, and that it would be successful in treating her condition. And Father, we pray for Leon Kim and his wife and just his family. We just thank you for their protection. We recognize that there are many that are in danger, many fleeing for their lives into the jungles and even into other countries. We just pray, Father, that you would encourage them. And in the many ministries that continue, the seminary, the orphanage, the ongoing writing ministry, the translation ministries, Father, we understand that he would be very busy with these various seminars and Zoom meetings and Bible studies. We just pray that you would give him the strength, give him the courage to continue on in spite of the very difficult circumstances. And we just pray, Father, that you would undertake in that country. And I pray that this military coup would be put down and that order would be restored and that ministry would continue to move forward. We thank you again that we can come to you, that we can call upon you, that you know all of these details certainly so much better than we do. We just ask for your blessing upon each one. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter 5, we read concerning Enoch that he walked with God. That's about all we're told with reference to Enoch, except that he was not, for God took him, meaning that he was translated into heaven without seeing death, but he walked with God. We are told that he was the father of Methuselah and that he had other sons and daughters, but that's really all the Old Testament tells us. He walked with God and he was translated. In Hebrews chapter 11, we learn a little bit more about Enoch. It simply says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Obviously, you put these two passages together, and to walk with God means to please God. In the verse here in chapter 12 and verse 28, therefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Serve God acceptably. How do we serve God acceptably? How do we please God? How do we walk with God? What does that look like? Can we as sinful humans actually please a holy God? Can we actually serve him in an acceptable manner? Obviously, the command here is to do so, so obviously it's possible. What does that look like? Obviously, not only in this passage, but in other passages that we could turn to, we recognize that to please God, to serve him acceptably, is not just about what we do, but it also involves who we are. And so we want to look at that this evening specifically with reference to verse 28. When it says we are to serve God acceptably, the word serve here is not the ordinary word that's used to serve. The word that's used here is really reserved primarily for what we would call religious service. So it's not just serving somebody dinner, but it's more specifically a religious service. It's a word that's used throughout Scripture with reference to the service of the Old Testament priest, the service they performed in the temple or in the tabernacle before the temple. That's this word, and that's really the main focus of this word as used in Scripture. It is the service of the Old Testament priest. They offered sacrifices. That was one of the main services of the Old Testament priest. Now, obviously, we're not Old Testament priests. And obviously, we don't offer the sacrifices of animals. And yet, that's the word that's used here, that we are to serve God. We may not be Old Testament priests that are offering sacrifices of animals, but we are New Testament priests. Scripture makes that very clear. Every one of us. In the Old Testament, it was the tribe of Levi, the family of Aaron. They were the priest. But in the New Testament, every one of us as believers are considered priest. And as we are priest, we are to serve God. Now, in the Old Testament, those priests served God by offering the sacrifice of animals. We don't offer the sacrifice of animals, but we do have sacrifices that we are to offer as New Testament priests. I'm sure you can think of some of them, but Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word service is this same word. Our reasonable service or our religious service as New Testament priest is offering ourselves as living sacrifices. That's the service that we offer as New Testament priests. That's the sacrifice that we offer as New Testament priests. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And as we offer ourselves as living sacrifice, it's holy and acceptable unto God. Same word that's used here, that we are to serve him acceptably. The word is actually a word, it's the euaristos, Aristos is the word to please. Eu is the word for well. So it's really the word well-pleasing. We are to serve God acceptably. Are we to serve God in a well-pleasing way. And we do that, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, by offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. That is our New Testament priest service, and that is well-pleasing or acceptable to him. Same words that are used. We come to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Paul tells the church at Philippi that their financial gift, and the church at Philippi had sent more than once a financial gift to Paul. And as Paul was writing the book of Philippians in response to their gift that they had sent to him, he's in prison. And he thanks them for that gift. And he says that this financial gift was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. One of the sacrifices that we as New Testament priests are to offer is our financial gifts. That's one of the services that we can do as New Testament priests. We offer the sacrifice of our financial gifts. And likewise, in Philippians 4:18, this is acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Same word. And so it's very interesting that as these other passages talk about a sacrifice that we as New Testament priests are to offer, that's how we can serve God in a well-pleasing way. These same words are used in each one of these verses. If you just go to the next chapter here in Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Another sacrifice that we are to offer as New Testament priests is our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. That's a service that we can offer as New Testament priests. And then the next verse, verse 16, but to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. There's that word well pleased again. These sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God, the sacrifice of doing good and sharing. Now that word sharing, it's a word that can be used with reference to sharing financially. It's not limited to that. It's just the idea it's really just the word fellowship. It's just the idea of fellowshipping with one another and being there for one another to encourage, to strengthen, and maybe at times, yes, financially, but not limited to that. Sometimes what people need is just emotional support or spiritual guidance. And so as we give ourselves to others to help them, that's a sacrifice that we as New Testament priests are to offer. That's the service of New Testament priests. And it is, once again, well-pleasing to God. That same word is used. So you put that all together, we are to serve God in a well-pleasing way. How do we do that as New Testament priests? Well, we offer the sacrifice of ourselves. That's pleasing to God. We offer the sacrifice of our financial gifts. That's well-pleasing to God. We offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. That's well-pleasing to God. We offer the sacrifice of doing good to others and encouraging them and helping them. That is well-pleasing to God. These are the sacrifices of New Testament priests. That's how we serve God, and it's well-pleasing to him. It says in verse 28, therefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace by which we may serve God. Your translation may say, let us have gratitude or thanks. It is the word charis, which is the word grace, but it is often used with reference to thanks or gratitude. I really believe it's a word that combines both thoughts together. We are indeed to be thankful for God's grace. We are to be grateful for God's grace. We are to praise Him for His grace. And so in this verse it talks about let us have grace, or let us have thanks, let us have gratitude for God's grace, by which we may serve God acceptably. Thanksgiving for God's grace should be our motivation for service. It should be our motivation for service. Just a recognition of what God has done for us, a recognition of His love for us, we need to respond in love and thanksgiving and praise and gratitude to Him. That needs to be our motivation in our service to God. And I would say to you on this thought, let us have that thanksgiving for God's grace, that if it's not motivated by our love and our thanksgiving for God's grace, if it's not motivated by that, our service will not be well-pleasing. If I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice begrudgingly, it's not going to please God. If I'm offering my financial gifts begrudgingly, I'm not going to please God. God loves a cheerful giver, we're told in 1 Corinthians. If I'm offering praise and thanksgiving to God, but it's really not from a true heart of thanksgiving, that's not pleasing to God. Now, sometimes we get this idea that as long as I go through the motions, as long as I do the right thing, God will be pleased. Well, that was not true in the Old Testament with Israel, and it's certainly not true in the New Testament today with us. In fact, God condemned Israel for offering those sacrifices without sincere hearts of thanksgiving. They were just going through the motions, and God said, I'm sick and tired of your sacrifices. They mean nothing to me, because they're not coming from that heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. And the same is true with us. It needs to come from that motivation of just a love and a thanksgiving and a gratitude for His grace in our behalf. As you think about this serving God acceptably or well-pleasing, we also think of again, back in Hebrews chapter 11, as it related to Enoch, it says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's Hebrews 11, verse 5. You know what the very next verse says? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God, but obviously Enoch had faith, because without it, it's impossible to please God. And so as we look at this and we recognize that heart of thanksgiving for God's grace is the motivation for our service. It's the motivation for offering the sacrifice of ourselves and our financial gifts and the praise and the thanksgiving and the doing good to others as we fellowship with them. All of that has to be motivated by a love and a thanksgiving, and it all has to come from a heart of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Again, if I'm just going through the motions, it's not going to be acceptable to Him. It's not going to be well-pleasing to Him. I might be doing the right things, but it's not going to please Him if it's not from the foundation of faith and the motivation of thanksgiving. If you'd like to, you can turn with me to Psalm 100. I just want to make that same connection between thanksgiving and serving. And Psalm 100 is really a familiar psalm to us. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Serving the Lord with gladness, coming before His presence with singing. That sounds like a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of praise. And that's how we're to serve God, with that heart of praise. But it goes further. It says, know you that the Lord, He is God, is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. And bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Notice this connection between knowing God, knowing who He is. We're the sheep of His pasture. He's our shepherd. Talked about that this morning in our message, as Jacob recognized that God was his shepherd. David recognizes that in Psalm 23. Well, here we recognize that God is our shepherd, and as we know God and as we understand who He is, then we can enter into His courts with thanksgiving and into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Verse 5, we know that God is good, that His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures. Again, there's this connection between what we know about God and our thanksgiving to God and our praise to Him. But it all is culminated with verse 2, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. See, that's the command of this passage. Serve the Lord. How do we do that? Well, we need to know God and who He is. And when we know God and who He is, then we respond with thanksgiving and praise. And then and only then can we really adequately serve Him. When we, by faith, know who God is. When that is our foundation. And then our motivation, thanksgiving and praise to God. That's then how we serve Him acceptably. Back in Hebrews 12, notice it says, therefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have thanksgiving. Specifically, here in Hebrews 12:28, what we are thanking God for is this kingdom which cannot be moved. What's that all about? We need to be thankful for this kingdom that cannot be moved. And we read earlier the passage here with reference to Mount Sinai and how as God came down upon that mountain to meet with the people, and specifically with Moses, it says in Exodus chapter 19 that the whole mountain shook. It also says that the whole mountain was in a smoke. It was on fire. This was the presence of God. And the whole mountain shook. But then it says in verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. When He came down on Mount Sinai and gave the law, the earth shook, the mountain shook. But, the writer of Hebrews says, a time is coming when not only is the earth going to shake, but I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth once more. And then he says, and this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He says, once more, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but I'm going to shake the heavens also. And then what remains is that which will last forever. And that's the kingdom that he speaks of here. It's obviously talking about the future. Talking about God's judgment when He will indeed destroy this earth with a fire, and He'll create a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. That's the kingdom that will not be shaken. That's the kingdom that will be eternal, God's eternal kingdom. And that's what we wait for, and that's what we are to be thankful for as we serve God in a well-pleasing way. That's our motivation. We look forward to that hope that is ours of spending eternity with Him in a kingdom, His eternal kingdom, that will never be shaken. It'll never be moved. And so we serve Him with that hope before us that He will establish His eternal kingdom. Notice also in this verse, we're to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. With reverence and godly fear. This word reverence is kind of an interesting word. It's the word eulambano. Lambano means to take hold of or to grasp, and the word eu is the word for well. So it's the idea, you know, before we had eu aristyle, which is that well-pleasing. Well, here it's eulambano, which is to take hold of well or to grasp well. And it is a word that's translated often with reverence or awe. But it's the idea that we need to take hold of God well. In other words, we need to understand who He really is. And as we take hold of Him well, as we understand who He really is, our response is going to be one of reverence and awe. We're going to come to the point where we're going to take hold of Him and we're going to grasp Him, but we're going to understand that He is so far beyond our mind. He is so far beyond our capability of understanding. And we respond with just an awe, with a reverence. We humble ourselves before Him. That's how we need to serve Him. And unless we come to Him with that reverence and that awe that He is so far beyond us, we can't even comprehend Him. We take hold of Him, we grasp Him well when we come to an understanding that He's beyond our mind. And the only thing left for us is to fall down before Him in humility and in worship, in reverence and in awe. And that's our attitude as we serve Him. And if that's not our attitude, it's not going to be well-pleasing to Him. If we come before Him thinking, well, man, I got God figured out, and I know that He wants me to do this and this and this, and boy, I'm going to please God because I've got Him figured out, that's not going to be well-pleasing to Him at all. It's got to be a reverence. And this word would cause us to understand that we just need to humble ourselves before a God that is transcendent. He's beyond us. Not only with a reverence, but with a godly fear. A godly fear. Notice it says in verse 25, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." This is just a reminder that God is one who He will bring judgment. And God is one that we cannot escape. And as we read earlier in those verses, it talks about Mount Sinai, and as we said, it was on fire, and it was smoking, and the earthquake. That was all response to the holiness of God. That's God's holiness. And that's really what it talks about here when it talks about godly fear. Just a respect for the holiness of God. Sometimes we take sin lightly. We just kind of excuse it away. Now, I'm only human. God knows that I'm just a man. That's true. He does know that I'm just a man. He does love me. He does bestow His grace upon me. But He's a holy God. And as believers, we're not going to serve Him in a manner that pleases Him if we don't have a respect for His holiness. If we take sin lightly, we'll not serve Him acceptably. We need to have a godly fear in the sense that we respect the holiness of God. And so as we consider this verse tonight, how do we serve God acceptably? How do we serve Him in a manner that pleases Him? Well, as New Testament priests, we offer sacrifices. the sacrifice of ourselves as a living sacrifice, the sacrifice of our financial gifts, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, the sacrifice of doing good to others in fellowship with them. These are the sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God. I need to offer those sacrifices with the foundation of faith, for without faith it's impossible to please Him. I need to offer those sacrifices and serve Him motivated by my love and my gratitude and thanksgiving for Him. And I need to serve Him with a reverence and an awe that He is just so far beyond me, I can't comprehend Him, and I submit to Him, and with a godly fear, with a respect for His holiness. That's how we serve God acceptably. May God help us to do so this week. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You so much again for the instruction of Your word. We do want to serve You acceptably. We want to please You. And yet, Father, sometimes we just get so sidetracked, and sometimes we can get very selfish. Sometimes we can just get focused on what we do and forget about being. So I pray tonight that as we studied Your word, we'd be reminded of what it truly means to serve You acceptably. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for the forgiveness of sins. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your power that enables us to indeed offer the sacrifices of New Testament priest, and to do so in a manner that pleases You. May we understand that You are so far beyond us that we can't fully comprehend You. We must humble ourselves before You and respect Your holiness and who You are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Give us safety, Father, as we return to our homes tonight. We thank You that we've been able to come together. Give us a good week. Help us to glorify You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you. Be safe.